Let me invite you to turn with me now in your Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 11. Revelation, chapter 11, and today we are going to finish our look at chapter 11 by looking at verses 15 through 19. So Revelation, chapter 11, and we will begin in verse 15. Before we hear God's word, let's join our hearts together again in prayer. We bless you, O God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, for the revelation of your glory in the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us. May we, O God, with unveiled face, behold the glory of the Lord through the preaching of the gospel this morning, and may we be transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Revelation 11 and beginning in verse 15. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, let us hear the word of God. Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." And the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, who is and who was, for you have taken your great power and begun to reign. The nations raged, but your wrath came, and the time for the dead to be judged, and for rewarding your servants, the prophets and saints, and those who fear your name, both small and great, and for destroying the destroyers of the earth." Then God's temple in heaven was opened, and the ark of his covenant was seen within his temple. There were flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, an earthquake, and heavy hail. This is the word of God. Now, our passage this morning is about the end of the age. That's when our Lord Jesus Christ will return and consummate his kingdom. His kingdom will be fully and permanently manifested. Scripture tells us that the return of Christ will be heralded by a trumpet. The Apostle Paul says that the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the sound of the trumpet of God. And that's when the dead in Christ will rise and when those who are alive will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And so Christ will descend from heaven with the sound of the trumpet of God. Now, Paul also refers to that trumpet as the last trumpet in 1 Corinthians 15. The last trumpet is the seventh trumpet that is sounded in Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. In the book of Revelation, you have a series, you have several series of sevens. You have seven seals, seven trumpets, seven bowls, and each series ends with the return of Christ and the consummation of his kingdom, the kingdom of God. At his first coming, Christ inaugurated the kingdom of God, and at his second coming, he consummates it. And so the kingdom of God, which refers to the reign of God, his dominion, the exercise of his rule over the world in Christ, his anointed one, the kingdom of God comes in stages. The first stage of the coming of the kingdom is its inauguration, and that stage coincides with the first coming of Christ and his present reign from heaven at the right hand of the Father. The final stage of the coming of the kingdom is its consummation. And that stage coincides with the return of Christ at the last trumpet. And that's what's recorded in Revelation 11. Look again with me at verse 15. "Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, 'The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever.'" That's the consummation of his kingdom. And this is what we pray for every time we pray the petition in the Lord's Prayer, "Your kingdom come." We are praying for the consummation of the kingdom of God. We are praying that the kingdom of the world, viewed here as a single entity, would become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and that he would reign forever and ever. In other words, we are praying for the return of Jesus Christ and the full, permanent, ultimate manifestation of his kingdom at the end of the world. That's what we are praying for when we pray, "Your kingdom come." The loud voices in heaven that John hears when the last trumpet is blown are the inhabitants of heaven celebrating the answer to that prayer, the consummation of the kingdom. And so this heavenly worship, this heavenly liturgy, the worship of the heavenly temple, is all about the kingdom of God, the reign of God in Christ. With the seventh trumpet, the heavenly liturgy reaches a climax because that's when the kingdom of God fully comes. On that day, there will be an outburst of rejoicing in heaven, and that's what we get a glimpse of in our passage this morning. So this is the ultimate service of worship. It is the ultimate liturgical feast. It is the heavenly Day of Atonement, which follows the Feast of Trumpets. The seven trumpets in the book of Revelation correspond to the blowing of trumpets during the Feast of Trumpets, which announced the coming of the Lord on the great Day of Atonement. That's when the high priest emerges from the Holy of Holies and places God's name on God's people by blessing them. The last trumpet heralds the ultimate Day of Atonement, which brings the ultimate blessing, the consummation of the kingdom of God at the end of the world. And so in verse 15, we see an outburst of rejoicing in heaven, celebrating the coming of the kingdom. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. It's hard to read that sentence and not hear Handel's Messiah in your head. And this is a perfect time of the year, of course, to listen to that masterpiece. It is a beautiful rendition of the heavenly liturgy of the Apocalypse. Now, the liturgy in heaven, the worship in heaven, continues when the 24 elders respond to the celebration of the coming of the kingdom. Verse 16 says, "And the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, 'We give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, who is and who was, for you have taken your great power and begun to reign.'" The 24 elders, which we've seen before, who are the angelic priests of the heavenly temple, join the celebration. They join the celebration of the consummation of God's reign, the consummation of God's universal reign in Jesus Christ, the coming of his kingdom. Now, back in Revelation chapter 5, these same 24 elders celebrated the enthronement of Christ at the right hand of God when Christ ascended into heaven at the inauguration of his kingdom. And here they celebrate the consummation of his reign when the kingdom is fully come at the end of the age. And notice how the elders refer to God here in verse 17, and this is very important. They give thanks to him as, quote, "the Lord God Almighty who is and who was," and notice they do not say, "and who is to come." The future element of that threefold title for God has been dropped. Now, what does that mean? Well, prior to this statement, God is called, quote, "the one who is and who was and who is to come" three times in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 4, chapter 1, verse 8, and chapter 4, verse 8. But here, the third part of that title is missing. God is no longer the one who is to come because he has come. The last trumpet has sounded, and that's when he comes. That's when Christ returns. And so the third part of that threefold title for God has dropped out, and it has been replaced by a declaration of his consummate reign. Now, verse 18, which records the rest of the praise of the 24 elders, fills out the picture of what God will do at the consummation of his kingdom. At the consummation, when Christ returns, God will overthrow the raging nations. He will judge the dead. He will destroy Satan and his kingdom, and he will reward the faithful. And so the 24 elders sing in verse 18, "The nations raged, but your wrath came in the time for the dead to be judged, and for rewarding your servants, the prophets and saints, and those who fear your great and for destroying the destroyers of the earth. Now, this verse gives us a snapshot of the events that will occur at the end of the age. And all of these events are described in much more detail in Revelation chapters 19 through 22. Now, one event here is the Battle of Harmageddon, not Armageddon, but Harmageddon, which means the Mountain of Assembly. And that's when Satan assembles the kings of the earth for battle on the great day of God the Almighty, Revelation 16, verse 14. And that event is further described in Revelation chapter 20. Revelation 20, verse 7 says, "And when the 1,000 years are ended, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations that are at the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle," the Battle of Armageddon. "Their number is like the sand of the sea, and they marched up over the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. But fire came down from heaven and consumed them. And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." Now, that's what the 24 elders are singing about back in chapter 11, verse 18. "The nations raged, but your wrath came." The nations raged because they have been deceived by Satan and have been assembled for battle against the saints. The nations raged, but your wrath came. That is, fire came down from heaven and consumed them, Revelation 20, verse 9. "And the devil, the beast, and the false prophet were thrown into the lake of fire," or in the words of Revelation 11, 18, "the destroyers of the earth were destroyed." That's what that verse means. Now, what else happens at the consummation? Well, it is the time for the dead to be judged, Revelation 11, verse 18. And that event of the final judgment is further explained also in Revelation chapter 20, Revelation 20 and verse 11. "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. From his presence earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one of them according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." Now that, of course, is the final judgment. That's the final judgment which the 24 elders are singing about back in Revelation chapter 11, verse 18. But what else happens at the consummation? Well, the servants of God, the prophets and saints, and all who fear the name of God, both small and great, are rewarded, Revelation 11, 18. And their reward is set forth more fully in Revelation chapters 21 and 22, which describe the final and permanent state of affairs at the consummation of the kingdom, when the boundary between heaven and earth is permanently removed and the New Jerusalem descends from God out of heaven and the tabernacle of God is with men and so on. Now, the removal of that boundary between heaven and earth is what Revelation 11, verse 19 is about. So if you go back to chapter 11 and look at verse 19, John says, "Then God's temple in heaven was opened, and the ark of his covenant was seen within his temple. There were flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, an earthquake, and heavy hail," the same sort of phenomena that accompanied the manifestations of God throughout the Old Testament, like, for example, at Mount Sinai. God's temple in heaven was opened, verse 19. How was it opened? The curtain that veiled it was removed. And the curtain that veils the heavenly temple is the firmament that God created in the beginning. At the last trumpet, that veil will be permanently removed. And the rending of the veil of the temple from top to bottom when Jesus died on the cross anticipates this event. It foreshadows it. It is a symbolic pre-enactment of it, or in other words, it's a prophetic sign of the opening of the heavenly temple on the great day of atonement at the end of the world. God's heavenly temple will be opened because the curtain that veils that ultimate Holy of Holies will be removed. And when that happens, the heavenly Ark of the Covenant, not the earthly copy in the earthly temple, but the heavenly Ark of the Covenant, the original, will be seen by all. And the Ark of the Covenant, of course, is the throne of God, where the glory of God dwells in fullness. The opening of the heavenly temple here, which allows us to see the throne of God, the Ark of the Covenant set on high from the beginning, refers to the final, climactic, ultimate revelation of God's glory at the end of the world. When the Lord Himself descends from heaven and we hear the trumpet of God, the last trumpet, the glory of the Lord that fills the heavenly temple will no longer be veiled from our eyes. It will be fully revealed to us. The temple will be opened, and we will behold God's glory for all eternity. And this, beloved, is our great hope. It is the glorious and blessed hope of every believer to behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ forever and ever. That is the beatific vision. And that is our highest reward. That is our ultimate and highest reward. And this will not only be the fulfillment of our prayer, "Thy kingdom come," but it is also the fulfillment of the prayer of our Lord Jesus Himself. In the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 17, where is recorded the so-called high priestly prayer of Christ, Jesus prayed the following: "Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world." When the last trumpet sounds, God will answer that prayer of His Son.